I cannot wait to get fired. Burning Man is a great example of what humans do when they don't have to do anything.
From that description, it sounds like it's like a rave for like construction workers.
How many siblings?
Every time I'm asked about how many moms I have or how many siblings I have, I'm always a little bit ashamed of my dad. Don't do drugs, kids. If you do, you will go off bike ramps in January.
And you'll be forced to teach kids online high school for 10 years.
You will be forced to teach them. Mm-hmm. You will buy mushrooms from people at bike racks behind the middle school.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys out there though who would really want to do that. Who'd like to buy. You just want to hang out around a middle school.
Yeah.
I know a couple guys who are, that's their new dream, is just hang out in middle schools.
I don't know why anyone would want. Middle schools are the most disgusting places.
I feel like there's one reason. They're like, I feel like there's one big reason, you know. They're not hanging out for the food. So welcome to the podcast today. Welcome to the podcast.
Get fired. We're here. I'm Drew Simon. This is my co-host, Quinn Johnson.
Hey.
And today we got very fun guest, the Fresh King, Benjamin.
Yo, let's get fired, y'all.
Yes, man. Yes. Can't wait.
I cannot wait to get fired.
Yeah, dude. That's what we're so excited about. Because I was like, when we're thinking about this podcast, I was like, I know. So there's tons of stuff I don't even know about Ben. I don't even know where to go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know, like, if you have a job. I have no idea. You know, I don't know what you currently do. Because you also seem like a mythical being to me.
So I'm
like,
very mysterious.
Move in and out of the time.
I've cultivated an aura of mystery.
Exactly.
So I'm excited to pierce that today and finally come out.
Pierce the veil. You.
Yeah, exactly. To see into the heavens of me.
Yes, I can't wait. So I've always started with this. Like, what was the first job you ever had?
Oh, wow. First job I ever had when I was, this is going to be interesting, actually. When the first job I ever had, I was 8 years old and I got labor trafficked in my parents' bakery.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So nice. They sent you around or you just worked in their bakery?
Like I worked in their bakery.
Like they brokered you to other bakers or?
That would have been great, actually. But unfortunately, no, it was just in their bakery. So it was just bakery.
Like child labor.
It was just like child labor.
Okay. Yeah. So it wasn't no traffic. They didn't, like,
well, so that's
they didn't put you in like a shipping container.
That's actually a common misconception about the word trafficking is that it has to involve going from a place to a place.
Yeah.
But labor trafficking just means that you have you're basically there's force, fraud, or coercion that impels you to labor.
Okay.
And so for me, the fraud was Jesus is coming back. We have to have this bakery to pay for this ranch for all of the righteous people to come and live on the ranch when Jesus comes back. And so you have to work in this bakery for free and you're eight.
I feel like we should preface to the listeners. You were raised polygamous.
I was,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And that's there's different sects of the polygamists, what I'm learning,
whole bunch.
Right?
Yeah.
There's not just one.
There's not
just Warren Jeffs. There's more.
There's probably like 400 easy.
Okay.
And there's sort of like, so there's Warren Jeffs. That's the one everyone knows about. That's the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or FLDS. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I was a member of something called the Apostolic United Brethren.
Hell yeah.
Which is the true one. So if you're looking for the true one, that's the right one.
Okay.
So Warren Jeffs, you knew he was an apostate.
I knew that he was wicked.
Like you never were like.
Never in my life.
When he was busted, we were polygamists were looking at those polygamists. We're like.
Yeah. We knew those guys suck. But that's actually real. Like we would shit on the FLDS people all the time. We'd be like, that's so funny. Those fuckers. Yeah.
No, it's always how it is. It's always infighting.
100%. You have to have someone to shit on. In order to be truly happy.
And I think you know my cousin, Chris Jessup.
I do, yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. And so Chris Jessup, actually, I didn't realize he was your cousin.
Cousin Jessup, yeah.
But
dad married his aunt 2 years ago.
So he's from the same sect. So he grew up, I think he grew up in Montana, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I should know. He's my cousin.
I'm pretty sure that it is. So the AUB is headquartered in... it's headquartered Hamilton? In Bluffdale, actually in Bluffdale, but they've got in Bluffdale, Utah. In fact, when you're driving over the point of the mountain, if you look down, you can't really see it very much anymore, but if you sort of look down, there's a big, in that big gully down there, there's a big, you'll see a big lawn, like a huge lawn and like a big building and like another building next to it. That's their church and temple.
You know, I used to do Amazon delivery and I would go and deliver down in that area. Uh-huh. And I've delivered to like a house or two that, were polygamous, but there was like it was the more like casual seeming, where like totally. It wasn't as like, you know, they're not in like the pilgrim outfits.
Yeah.
But
so that's AUB.
So I've been down there.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's what you were.
If we wanted to, we could go to church there.
Okay. So you're like, Sweet. You're like the TLC.
That's actually, so the guy on TLC, Cody Brown, is my uncle.
Why not?
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, everyone's all connected.
Right. We are all related.
Well, that makes sense. It's a small world.
It is a small world in Mormon polygamist Utah. 100%. Yes. It's tiny.
I think what you do forget, like, at least because I grew up in Provo, just you forget that like there is like, yeah, polygamists among us that just are out here, because you always think of the FLDS like they're like, you know, way out in the boonies, but it's like no, I was in I went to the Draper Harmon's once and I saw like a fucking big van pull up, but they all got out in like the pioneer outfits, but then they just walked in.
They must have been rich to go to Harmon's.
It was pretty funny though to see,
usually like, it's like Great Value or Costco.
And then in that same parking lot also saw Karl Malone. Karl Malone was the same day.
Karl Malone is a sports guy.
That's
he was a all-star for the Utah Jazz back in the day.
Okay, so he's a basketball player.
Very famous guy also.
Very famous.
Was he a polygamist?
No, but he did impregnate a 13-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, very polygamist of him. Yeah. Yes. Oh, my people would love him.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, they would welcome him with open arms.
Goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
There's
no age in heaven, don't you know? Like that's true. How you get around. So it's
actually, that's good logic.
Can you put an age on eternity?
Right. You can't, like, if you're, and that, you know, it's truly awful, but it also does make a kind of weird sense, which is that's how they get you, right? Is they're like, look, we're only here for this brief time. This life is only a tiny little blip in eternity. You're an eternal soul. So it doesn't matter that you're 14. Your soul is ancient. Your soul is as ancient as this man that we're trying to marry.
You're actually more mature than I am. You know, it's like, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. You're actually older than me.
Me, okay.
Totally.
I'm convinced. I'm going to get fucked right now.
Jesus.
Well, they don't want to fuck you.
Well, yeah, nuts. You know.
I'm sorry.
Well,
they want to throw you out so that you can't fuck the other girls.
Oh, yeah. True. That's a thing in these, because I watched the Warren Jeffs documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
And there's tons of men who just end up getting kicked out because. Yeah. You can't have as many men as women when your whole religion is marrying a bunch of women.
Right. You cannot.
That's
no,
dude. So you didn't make the cut. That's what happened.
Well, so I'm a little bit of a different case, because I got sent out to get an education. My family wanted me to become a lawyer. So they sent me out. They were like, litigate for us. Right. Mm-hmm. Like be our attorney. And then I got out into the world and I was like, this place is rad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like there's like, no way. School? I went to Southern Utah.
SUU, Thunderbird.
Okay. Yeah. And I didn't become a lawyer.
They didn't want to send you to BYU because like those are a bunch of apostates.
They're like, yeah, that'd be too close. Like so, I might stray, which I ultimately did. Like I was polygamous and then I joined the LDS church for like 5 years. And then I was like, this is all bullshit. I'm out.
Mm-hmm. No, dude. I guess you don't hear a lot. I've never really heard many people very unique. They're like, no, I found myself in Cedar City.
Oh, it's totally. Like, it's wild. Like it's no. So like, I became
Jack in the Box there.
Yeah, they got Jack in the Box. They got even Taco Bell.
Yeah,
like
dude, you go from Bluffdale to Cedar Sizzy.
Sizzy. Oh my. Now I'm starting to make sense.
And for me, it wasn't even Bluffdale, because Bluffdale was like that was like the mecca that we'd come to.
Yeah.
I grew up in Wyoming, so I was in the small little. A small little ranch in Wyoming, and we'd come down to Utah to Bluffdale.
Because that makes more sense. Because I was like, because if you're living in Bluffdale, you'd still be kind of around like the society, you know. Yeah. But like if you're out just on a little ranch, you come out to you go to Cedar City, and you're like, is this like, New
this
York?
Is amazing,
yeah.
Like,
but I mean, it's.
I'm surrounded by all of these just LDS Mormons, and I'm like, man, these people are so liberal.
Whoa, they're crazy. I know.
This is wild to me.
Yeah.
They don't spit on gay people.
Like, this is insane. Yeah. No, but I, it's wild to think that. But in all honesty, the LDS stepping from where I was into the LDS church was a step that liberalized me, right? Mm-hmm. Like that really did sort of push me into a more open world.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I think ultimately is why I left the LDS church, is that the process of kind of stepping out and becoming more open, it it made me deconstruct that world too.
What you're saying is like the Mormon church was like a gateway drug.
The Mormon church was the marijuana.
The DARE program doesn't work.
It was a gateway drug.
DARE does not
to
work.
Heathenism.
It was a slippery slope.
Yeah, and exactly.
Dude, you being raised Mormon in Washington State.
Yeah.
It's like the same as being raised like a Lutheran in Washington State. You're like any other Protestant.
Really?
Dude, we got Democrat bishops. Like, it's like,
that
it's
is wild
like,
to me.
Dude, being a member of the church in like not Utah is literally just like being part of any other church. It's so,
it's way more casual.
And then you come to Utah and it's like
super cult.
Yeah. It's weird.
I'm kind of envious of that because I think that there's a lot about the experience of religion that I find really beautiful. Like, I think that there's a lot of real, because we've been doing religion is a game that we've been playing with each other for hundreds of thousands of years. Right. And so the idea of a more casual approach to religion where it's like, yeah, we're just kind of doing this and it's fun. And we're getting together and maybe our bishop's a Democrat. Like, that sounds so much nicer than we have to do this. Otherwise, like, we are the chosen ones who are keeping this alive and pure and sacred. And if we don't do it, then the world is fucked.
I mean, you look at like the Catholic Church right now, and it's a lot more casual now. Cause I feel like they're like, we have to be casual. Otherwise people won't come at all. So I feel like some other churches are kind of like dialing it back. And I feel like it works a lot better for people now. Like, yeah, I'm Catholic, but you know, not like crazy about it. We just had a
Muslims mistake.
We just had a Catholic convention at the Salt Palace, and I work at a hotel right next to it. And like
a Catholic convention,
there was like 19,000 like Catholics. Like, and it was like directed at like college age, I don't know about Catholic kids, but like they were all like, you see a ton of priests, and they're like in those crazy outfits.
Rad.
But what was fun about it was like, I work valet, and there's this dude who was a priest. And I like, he comes out and he's like, okay, it's $37. And he's like, don't you remember I already paid? And I'm like, you didn't. I was here. And he was like, no, I did. And I was like, you did not. And he was like, you're just trying to scam us.
He's like, trying Jedi mind tricking you.
And I were like, what? And then he came back the next day or two, did it every single day to whoever was there. He would try to scam us. And we're like, this is, and he was like, what are the leaders of like the Catholic arm or whatever of Salt Lake? And I'm like, dude, what kind of religion is this? And see, this is kind of the more casualness you're talking about, where you realize, like, no, that's the beautiful part of it. like they're all just people, you know. Yeah. You bring back the mystique. You can, they don't want to scam.
No, you should have. Are you trying to Jew me right now,
dude? Dude, well, I pointed inside. They were doing a confession in there. I was like, you want to go back in? Like, you but it's just funny. And also, it's funny seeing all these Catholics in Salt Lake. I'm like, oh, well, you're on our turf.
The idea that there's a Catholic convention in Salt Lake feels like behind them in enemy lines. Like, they've gone deep.
I always think that about the Scientology building in Salt Lake.
I've walked by that
building.
Yeah, there's a Scientology building in Salt Lake.
When I drive past it, I'm always like, I start laughing. I'm like, good luck, man. Like, good luck. like you guys are fucking.
I kind of want to go check out Scientology.
Like, you should.
You can't. I kind of want to like just go like hold the things, like see what it's like, because it's what I found is I kind of like cults. Like, I like, because cults, you go in and they'll love bomb you. They'll make you feel super special. And so I like to just go for like the first couple of meetings.
Yeah.
And then drop off. Like, after they try to sign you up, as soon as they ask for your credit card, bail.
Dude. Oh, Ben's gonna be the next Tom Cruise.
I mean,
him in movies and shit.
No, I mean, you're also kind of describing how it feels to go to Chick-fil-A. You know,
that's true.
Yeah,
they're so nice.
I could just do Chick-fil-A.
Just go to Chick-fil-A.
They do love bombing.
Getting a hankering for a cult. Pleasure. Just wheel on in there. You know. Oh my god, it's so all this to say, and all this to sum up. You were a baker at 8 years old.
I was a baker at 8 years old. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, there's had to be some benefit for your little hands. Like, were you like pushing down on like little like things that were hard for an adult?
Yeah. Like, I could grab, I could shape the loaves very nicely.
You make fun stuff like cupcakes, or was it all just?
No, we made bread. When I was a kid, I really wanted to make donuts. Like, I tried to talk my dad into making donuts, and he was like, no, we can't do donuts. So we would do bread, we would do granola, we did eventually do cookies. And ooh, the cookies were pretty good. I ate a shit ton of cookies.
Okay.
And
honestly, I know a reason why you're still alive is because you never asked your dad to make bagels.
Are bagels pretty gnarly to make?
No, just because he's like, I'm not raising a Jewish kid, am I? Like,
well, actually, yeah. My dad thinks that he is Jewish. So,
oh, perfect.
Because you know that Mormons think they're Jews.
I'm aware of this. Yeah, because like I remember hearing that like all my life growing up, people would be like, yeah, we love the Jewish people.
They're our brethren.
They saw themselves in the Jewish people.
They're like our cousins.
Like they saw the Holocaust, and like they're just like us.
Yeah.
Like when we were getting persecuted going from Missouri, they're like, it's just the same
thing.
Same thing.
You see a Jewish guy kick a Palestinian in the head and you're like, nice.
Dude, it's so funny. Yeah. Growing up, I never knew like about like Jewish hate that much, like outside of like, you know, World War II. And then like you grow up and you realize all the huge swaths of the country like hate the Jewish people or whatever. And I was like, I thought like, everyone liked them. I don't know. I thought they were
there's something really odd about Mormons, right? Which is that we're so fake. Like it's made up, but also it makes us really like, we love Jews. Why? Because we think that we're Ephraim. Like we think that we are descended from the same people. And so of course we would love them, but we aren't. We just co-opted that.
You know what? I kind of
do a reality show where we bring like Orthodox Jews to Utah and we're like, hey, you're one of us. And then the whole show is just Mormons trying to convince Orthodox Jews that they're Mormon. Dude,
I watched a show. It's not far off from like that kind of idea. There was a TLC show made in Salt Lake and it's very Utah. It's called My Husband Is Not Gay.
Oh, dude. Oh, God. Have you seen this?
No.
They only did one episode.
They won't say gay. They struggle with, they call it SA, but they abbreviate it every time.
SSA. Yeah, I've heard this.
Yeah, like we're same sex attracted. And they start talking to some gay guys, and we're like, we're same sex attracted. They're like, are you gay? Like, no, it's not like that at all.
Yeah,
we just are attracted to men.
They have, they also have like a support group. They all meet up together and they go on camping trips together.
And all the wives,
and the wives are like, the camping's a little weird.
Like, it would be like, do you remember what happened last time? And he's like, what? It's not going to be like that. And they're like, couldn't be more gay. Like,
there's the one like token straight gay dude who's like playing basketball with them.
Oh,
who's these fruitcakes don't know how to play basketball.
it's amazing. It's one of the best.
And it only did one episode. That's tragic.
Well, because like, how do you continue? Like, I think like maybe all it took was them having cameras come into their lives and actually have people ask them real questions about like, hey, this is insane. Everything you're saying is not
right. Real. Episode two is just them all realizing that they are gay.
Yeah. Well, because it's like, it's easy. Sometimes you get stuck in a little
episode,
thing.
They're setting up one of the single dudes who's struggling with SSA.
Yeah.
They're setting him up on a date.
I love that. With a woman.
The girl.
Yeah, the woman. And
God,
then,
what a poor woman.
At the end of the date, he like spills the beans, like, just so you know.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I don't think you're attractive.
Yeah.
And I never will.
But I still want to go out on another date with you.
Like, but I want to be married to you for eternity.
But they're really, it's a really fun show. You could find the episode, but that's like a, you don't see a lot of shows about Utah. And I'm like, that is something that
I feel like nowadays that's really changing.
Oh yeah.
Well, now it's like, on Peacock, I see like 20 different
reality shows just take off here.
They've got a Netflix show coming out like on, I think it actually came out today, about the Mountain Meadows Massacre.
Oh,
like there's like
the interviewing the survivors.
Yeah. They're it's nice. A whole,
yeah. It's on location.
On location.
Yeah. Dude, animated.
I actually think an animated Mormon cartoon would be. Did you guys ever watch like the old Living Scriptures cartoons?
I think like maybe I've seen it a couple of times. Here's my thing as a kid, like my mom would never turn it on, but whenever they'd turn it on in church or something, I'd be like, this is so tacky. Like this is
oh, that was my shit. That was like the only cartoon we could watch. Oh. I've got boxes of them. When I had the Vegas mm-hmm. comics up, I showed them. We all watched Nephi and the Brass Plates together, mm-hmm. which is basically about Nephi. God, a voice coming, like God speaks to him and is like, slay him, and he chops off Laban's
head. Oh yeah, that was that was a great story. That's
fantastic
a fun story.
Like,
yeah,
great story. And they lost their minds.
Yeah,
they were like, this is the shit you were watching. What the hell?
Yeah, no, yeah, dude, you're like, yeah, it's pretty cool,
like,
actually.
Like, yeah, like if God tells you to kill someone,
you said that's all you could watch, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we could watch those cartoons. We could watch like old. Like 1930s musicals, so like Singing in the Rain,
okay,
like Shirley Temple movies.
I mean,
Disney movies were hit or miss. So like
Toy Story,
I did watch Toy Story,
okay,
but they were heavily so parents had to screen them first, and we couldn't watch anything. Like we couldn't watch Little Mermaid, we couldn't watch Lion King.
Why not Little Mermaid?
Because she disobeys her dad.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Okay, wait. I knew this crazy like Protestant family. So where I lived, it was just like extreme Protestants who like forbid like can't watch Harry Potter.
Oh, totally. Yeah, same.
Dude, wild. Okay, I had some neighbors where my friends, they weren't allowed to watch Toy Story because if toys are talking, it must be witchcraft.
Oh, you know,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, polygamists didn't know that.
Polygamists did not know that it was witchcraft.
You watched Toy Story?
We watched Toy Story.
Dude, yeah. You were going to hell before
apparently,
you knew it.
We are not as righteous as the Protestants.
No, you weren't.
God damn, I should tell my
you
dad
thought,
that.
Yeah, you
my
thought
Lutheran
you were.
Lutheran neighbors.
I should be like, dad, Lutheran neighbors are out-righteousing you.
Dude, if you didn't show me Toy Story, I wouldn't even be out here. I would still be back at the ranch. It'd still be bacon.
I'd still be bacon.
Yeah.
I'd still be churning out bread for God.
Mm-hmm. Dude.
Sacrament bread.
We actually did. We made the sacrament bread.
Thank God.
Yeah.
That's gotta be better. We only had like ultra processed white bread where I live.
So. Yeah, which is why it's wild to me that Mormons think that they're going like this is God's body, but we're gonna use the shittiest bread.
Yeah, you can't use the nice stuff.
What? But why not? Because like
you can use that for dinner.
Yeah,
dude, come on.
Also,
come on now. If you're just gonna have that big of a piece, you don't need the nice stuff. We have the stuff that they put in rich flour, and sugar in it.
Yeah.
Well, dude, sacrament eating in like Paris has got to be amazing then. Dude,
the breads
they're whipping out. Like this scene. Now, see, that's when
they pull out a hole.
If I was investigating the church out there, but see, this seems real.
This is legit.
Yeah. This,
instead of some water,
they've got a baguette and wine.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God, dude. Yeah. You know, you go to a sacrament meeting in Boise and you're like, okay, dude, we're eating sycamores, but
we're having berries and well water.
Oh God.
Okay. So this is crazy. Cause we also, you know, I think Anna Tibbetts though was more strict than the polygamist.
No. She was in a similar, very strict, like there were her family was not allowed to listen to, any music that wasn't church music.
Yeah, same.
And so her
church music or country music. For some reason, country music was allowed.
So you could listen to Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks was fine.
Talking about fishing. No, it wasn't.
Toby Keith.
Yeah, Toby Keith. Like rah-rah America. Like love America for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's the that.
But never rap.
Never rap. Oh God, no, no, never rap.
Well, you never thought rap was going to sneak into
never,
that?
I don't know. Never rap. Yeah. Never like pop.
Christian rap.
That's a newer thing.
Yeah, I think that's fairly
new. That's a new thing. It's not
and Christian
thing.
Rap. So Christian rock or Christian rap. That was actually
by Christian
worse.
Rap. I mean Kanye.
That was actually worse than just regular rap because that was like using something righteous to sort of get something like taking something wicked and putting it in something righteous. Like at least like normal rap, it's just straight up. They're not pretending, but.
So it's
Christian
like,
rap, you're like tainting Jesus' name.
So it'd be like your parents would be like Christian porn.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, just because like you have
just because you got a cross on doesn't mean
exactly.
It's okay.
Still tits are out.
Still tits are out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dude.
So did you get fired from the bakery? You know,
I never did.
No.
Unfortunately. No.
Damn. So how long did you work there?
I worked there from when I was 8 until I was 18.
Wow.
10 years.
10 year run.
Okay, yeah. Well, that looks good on a resume.
It's great. Yeah, no gaps. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lots of hours. I was managing it by the end of it. So when I was like 14, I was managing the place.
Would you crack the whip?
Were you a nicer boss? I was more of a nice boss, yeah. I mix the bread. We delivered to Yellowstone National Park, which was cool.
Dude. Okay. It is funny because I'm sure like the people at Yellowstone, they did get your order, and then like the tourists coming through, they're like, "But where'd this bread come from?" Like, "Oh, there's some polygamists that just like make some, just,
that make some kids."
Yeah, there's some polygamists over there that I don't know. Like, this is all they do. They just make bread.
All they do.
Make bread and
bread and make babies.
Okay, this is a cliche question. How many siblings?
I have 15 siblings.
Oh, that's
there you, go.
It's, low, you know what? I know low, super low numbers.
Okay. Like,
every time I'm asked about how many moms I have or how many siblings I have, I'm always a little bit ashamed of my dad.
It's true.
Really? Because he wasn't pulling his weight.
He was not, he's kind of a
how
shitty
polygamist. How many women
polygamist.
Did he marry?
He had three, but one of them left.
Oh,
yeah. So he
shit.
Only had one.
How did
for,
she
like,
escape?
She just left.
Oh,
it's pretty easy.
Like, he didn't even try to like chain her up or anything.
She was like, she had never even lived on the compound. She just got like a house in town. So she had like a house in town. She was there for like, she was literally just there long enough to get pregnant. And then she bailed. She came back to Utah.
Well, hey.
And he hasn't been able to pull another one since.
Damn, you know, dude, you know, clock's ticking.
The thing is it could still happen, right? Like, cause he could at any moment he could, but yeah, I 15, 16. I know some families that have that many kids with one wife.
Well, okay. You know, there's a person, a family in my ward that 12.
Right. Exactly.
Just one family.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Is there like as far as like them, like the dudes looking for other wives, is like, do they have to like recruit like they do like in college football? But imagine like the recruiting pool, you're not going to be able to recruit if you can't recruit like in the normal society. I'm sure you'd have to recruit out of like other polygamous families. I can't imagine there's a lot of girls, like normal girls.
There's
who
a lot
are
of,
like,
so there's a lot of swapping. So often what'll happen, right, is you'll give one of your daughters and then you'll get a daughter.
It's like a Game of Thrones.
It's like arranged marriage.
A lot of they wouldn't call it arranged marriage because they would say
they're
choosing, but they're it's also like they'll receive revelation. So like I have a sister that married. I have several sisters in polygamous situations, and one of them married a dude who was like my dad's best friend, and she was like born at his house. She was named after a couple of his wives, like then from the time she was like 13 and 14, my dad was like giving her blessings, saying like, the person that you're going to be married to is already married. Mm-hmm. So she was groomed to believe that was, and then she chose when she was 19 to marry this guy.
Well, hey,
jeez,
shout out to her. You know, shout out to her.
Shout out to Choice.
To Choice.
That's pretty dope.
So polygamists are pro-choice.
Polygamists are pro-choice. Yeah. Yes, in that regard. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
They are pro-choice as long as they have conditioned you to make the right choice.
I like that.
Because you have to make, choice is good, but only if you make the right one.
It's like the church's stance on being gay. They're like, you can be gay.
Yeah, just don't do it.
No, you can be gay. Just like, don't be gay.
Right.
Just like, don't go to brunch.
Don't go to.
Yeah.
And brunch is easily the best part of being
gay.
Like,
you could totally be gay.
Yeah.
Talking about. Of course you can. Just like, don't do any gay shit. All right.
I think that's simple. If there's polygamists who are like, you know, you can't listen to worldly music, but you can kill a baby.
I thought
that would be pretty great.
Actually. I thought you'd like this. This girl who, Anna Tibbetts, her brother, because they couldn't listen to church music, he, as like a act of defiance, hid in his closet and listened to Imagine Dragons.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was like, that. And I love that. It's such the most Utah kind of story.
That's so crazy. like me, 16 years old, what I thought was very Mormon, I'm finding out I was not very Mormon. Based off of meeting people.
Never been. Yeah.
But like.
You've never soaked.
No. Well, also Adam Brown has a bit about soaking where I don't think that's real.
I've talked to people who have soaked.
It's like people have done it. Obviously.
If you're getting that far, you've already done some mental gymnastics where you're like, God's retarded.
Right.
And
well, no, it's all that. It's all loopholes.
I talked to someone that felt, they felt like they're, and obviously this had changed since then, right? They'd gone out, but at the time they were like, this is actually a way that we can demonstrate how faithful we are by
I like that.
By like not move. So like they would soak and then they would just not move.
Dude, it's like when Gandhi was like, I'm going to tempt myself by sleeping next to this 13-year-old girl.
Exactly. It's
proving his faith.
It's proving your faith.
Talk about the new Jews that were lawyering your way into heaven.
Like, right.
Did we move?
Did we move, God? Did we?
Look at the fine print. You know, like, it. Dude, that's fucking wild.
I'd like, before like a football game, I had like headphones on listening to Eminem, and I'd be like,
yeah.
But if you ask me, I'd be like, yeah, I'm all Mormon.
Yeah.
But like,
no, my big act of defiance as a teenager was one time when I was delivering to Yellowstone, I snuck off into the Walmart that we would stop at in Cody, and I bought myself an Avril Lavigne CD.
Woo!
And I was like, and I would like take that home, and I would like
Skater
listen.
Boy?
Was it the one that had it's a damn cool night.
No, it wasn't that one. It was the
before or after it was the CIA made her clone.
What?
You don't know Avril Lavigne's dead?
I do not know the
never
story.
Heard this lore.
Mm. Boy, tell me this? What has happened to Avril Lavigne?
Avril Lavigne's dead after her first album. The CIA killed her.
Okay.
And it's been a clone ever since.
Oh, checks out.
Of course.
Yeah.
She's like Damar Hamlin.
Yeah, look, you gotta.
Dude, it's Damar Hamlin.
Yeah. I love, those are my favorite conspiracies. Like, oh yeah, they clone
or
them.
The
like
Alex Jones is Bill Hicks.
Oh, that one's
that's my favorite one.
Alex, who's Bill Hicks?
He's
a great comic from like the 90s.
Really, okay. Kind of like prophetic. Like, his style was a lot more like just kind of like doing harsh commentaries on the realities of like the government and all this kind of shit. So like it was like really like not for everyone, but like he was a little ahead of his time.
Okay.
Like almost like a more intense.
And
George
so people
Carlin.
Are like, that's Alex Jones.
You tell me that's not Alex Jones.
I mean, maybe his son.
I believe now.
Yeah. But,
God, I love a good conspiracy theory.
Dude. Okay. Now I'm just curious. So you finish your tenure at the bakery, you know, and then I assume at this point, is this when you go to college?
This is when I go to college.
You go to college, and did you have a job in college?
Let's see. What did I do in college? I was a security guard on campus.
Sweet.
For a little bit.
Did you tell people your religious affiliation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're pretty open.
I was pretty open about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Cause you're like,
did people
does
treat you weird or were they like,
it's always been kind of a novelty, right? So people are more interested. Like they're kind of, it's sort of an interesting. So when people would find out, they'd just be like, oh, tell me about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But
I don't think anyone has ever, I don't think that I've ever experienced anyone treating me poorly because of it, but I have had a lot of people really interested. I mean, the only people that treated me poorly because of polygamy were my parents.
Well, yeah.
So
that's a
change tonight.
Yeah. Hell yes. Bully me.
Finally.
I got a job at Great Harvest obviously.
There you go. I mean,
like, taking my
walking there like a fucking
king. I was like, look, you guys, I know what to do.
Just here. Looking around the back, like, is this what you guys are doing? Like,
you guys are fucking, you're doing 25 loaves a day. What are you talking about?
Dude, I can get a primary.
I can get you 10,000 loaves a day, no problem.
Yeah, with 6 8-year-olds. Okay,
yeah, give me a couple of kids.
We're gonna run this town. Yeah, you know, that's great. And then when did you move up? Did you graduate from SUU or did you?
So I didn't go to SUU. I went to a liberal arts college that was in Cedar City for a little while.
It wasn't even SUU.
No.
So do they have a law program?
No, they were like it was like an alt-right liberal or like an alt-right liberal arts college. Like it was alt-right before alt-right was a thing. Okay. It was exactly the kind of place you would expect polygamists
this
to send their kids.
This makes more sense why people weren't as like, when you said it, you're like a polygamist. Yeah. They weren't like,
they're like, oh yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. 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 Cause I was
we're
like,
we're also crazy.
They're like, oh, well, that's cool, man. Yeah. Okay. But that is so funny. Your parents are like, we want you to be a lawyer. So we're going to send you to school where they don't have a law program.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a big,
they are not great planners.
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, obviously. I mean, hey, I mean,
you'd think preppers would be a little better.
You would think. Think that they would be a little bit better at planning, but they're
it sounds
not.
Like your dad's not even a good polygamist, so it's like it's not
my dad is wildly unsuccessful.
Does he beat his wives?
I don't think so.
What is he doing?
He did hit his kids, right? And he would tell you that he was very big on spanking. So, and some of his friends, they would use like paddles, like spatulas to spank their kids. Mm. And my dad was like, no, I don't want to do that. Cause I want my kids to know that like the same hand that loves them is the hand that disciplines them, which was a little kinky.
It is absolutely kinky. I thought it was going to be like, they hit you with a stale loaf of bread or something. You know, like you made this.
Go cut a loaf of bread from the back.
Dude, you also, I feel like there's so many moments in your life where you ever seen like Les Mis?
Yeah. Uh huh.
Well, dude, just like the like, I stole a loaf of bread.
Oh,
like,
totally.
That was like, yeah.
Only I would do cookies. So I would sneak into the freezer and I would eat cookies.
And then your dad just like, he's like, oh, I see his hand right here. Guess I gotta discipline
you with this hand that loves you.
Oh, fuck. Dude, okay. So you went to a alt-right liberal arts school, which just sounds hilarious. Like, what does liberal arts, is that, what is that? I just liberal assume it just like, means it's like a left-leaning.
No, liberal arts is like, it's like philosophy, law. It's like, it's kind of like the classic. So we read Plato, we read Aristotle, we read like Les Mis, we read a lot of Les Mis. So it's kind of like, it's sort of like the liberal tradition.
There is something about conservatives and like the alt-right. I feel like there is something very about gay. that very leans towards musical.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think it's their closeted.
Ben Shapiro.
No, you go so far to the right, you're like Milo Yiannopoulos.
You go so far to the right, you want to break into song. Like, you know,
exactly.
And there's a song in my heart, and it's very, has very,
it's very, and it's very patriotic.
You remember they made like a straight pride parade a few years ago in Boston?
Oh, God.
And, did they for real?
Yeah. It was like five people were there.
Oh, my God.
Well, Milo Yiannopoulos was the grand marshal for the.
Well, that's hilarious because
he's gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they made a straight pride flag and it looked incredibly gay.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Oh.
God, I would go to a straight pride parade. So I would love that.
Well, also just these dudes who are like, I want to be in parade. Like, why do they get a parade? Why do they have a parade?
That feels like if you want to be in a parade, you're probably gay.
Why are they looking at them? They should look at me.
Pay attention. Yeah. I want to have all the attention.
The real straight pride parade's the college football playoff.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, we're storming the Capitol.
Storming the Capitol. No, I was thinking about that.
That's straight.
Yeah, the other day, but like.
Yeah, that's super straight.
They could have got me on their side if they did break into song once they got in there.
I was trying to tell people that this
musical number,
January 6th, that was the left's turn to do like a flash mob at the Capitol.
Yeah.
Like they should have showed up and glitter bombed the place.
I know, but you know, that's why they lost.
Yeah.
You know,
they just can't get organized.
They can't organize shit. You know, they could have put on a mean performance of like, the fucking Benny and the Jets, by Elton John,
amazing.
Yeah. So did you graduate from this school?
I did. I graduated from the school.
What'd you get a degree in?
I got a liberal arts degree.
And is this a school that's like. Like the credits can transfer.
It is not accredited.
Okay.
No. It is.
How do you expect to get into law school?
Look, the Lord will provide a way.
So like, you just go and just. Okay, you're just there, like, I guess you can just go take the bar exam.
Was there any other polygamist that took this path?
I think you can just take the bar. I don't know. I bailed on that path very quickly. Like mm-hmm. that was not the path for me.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but yeah, I graduated. I got married. I joined the LDS church, and that's when I started teaching high school.
And did you move up here, or like at that point where were you living?
At that point, I was in Cedar City, and then I came up to like Utah Valley for like a year, and mm-hmm. then ended up back down, and then went back down to St. George, and then I was in St. George until about 3 years ago, until 2020. Mm-hmm. It's 2020 is when I moved back up to Salt Lake.
Dude, how was it the first time you're kind of living up in Utah Valley? Were you like, whoa?
So I hated
secular.
I hated Utah Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
No, like,
yeah.
Well, it was, from where you've grown up, it's like I can't imagine like how different it is.
I mean, it was at that point, by the time I was living there, I'd already started to realize how many different what a multitude of experiences there were to be had and how diverse and awesome the world was. And so Utah Valley felt very stifling. Like I wanted to be in a place that felt metropolitan. I wanted to be in a place that felt like things were happening. There was diversity and people were interesting and fun.
And then you went to St. George.
And then I went to St. George. Yeah. Yeah. Which actually has a pretty, like, St. George is very white and very
old,
very old, but there's also a pretty interesting, like there's an outdoor scene. There's a pretty large,
it's amazing. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. Like, I like St. George. Yeah, I mean, then you're not far from Vegas.
We're not that far from Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole thing. Go to Mesquite.
Yeah, you can 90 go minutes
party in Mesquite. You know? Dude, I love the Walmart Mesquite. Side note. Anyways, so 2020 happens. Did you move up to Salt Lake like before the pandemic or like
no,
right
we
during
moved up
the pandemic?
In August. Yeah, so kind of during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The pandy.
And the pandemic, that's when you're like, I'm done. Being Mormon.
Is that when you started comedy or
no? So I was done being Mormon in 2015.
Before the pandemic, pre-pandemic, I
stopped doing the Mormon thing in 2015. After I stopped doing the Mormon thing is when I realized that I was pretty fucked up from childhood. And so I got a trauma therapist. And so I did a fuck ton of therapy for like 5 years.
We do EMDR.
EMDR, a lot of somatic work. I did some psychedelic assisted therapy Yeah, really kind of, it helped. It
dude,
blew my mind open.
It's a side note. I'm always, because like I'm a big like raver, you know, I love going to like festivals and all that. And did you go to Burning Man?
Yeah, I've been 3 times.
How was it?
I fucking love it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's my favorite place on earth, easily. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
How old were you the first time you went to Burning Man?
First time I went to Burning Man was 22. So 22. I was 33 or 34.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and like 34. How was, because I feel like this has got to be like culmination of all these things you've kind of been looking for, right?
Burning Man felt like so I arrive at Burning Man and it felt like the peak expression of this humanity that I'd been looking for. Right. So the thing that has always kind of pulled me out of religion and out of Mormonism really has been curiosity, right? Curiosity and just a really deep fascination with what humans can do. And I love humans. I think we're brilliant. I think everything but a lot of the things we do are beautiful. And so Burning Man felt like the ultimate expression of that, because there's so much art, there's so much creativity, and none of it has to happen, right? It's Burning Man is a great example of what humans do when they don't have to do anything. So a lot of times when I grew up, the view that I had of humans raised in a really religious culture was humans are at their core, they're bad. So if we don't give them rules, if we don't tell them what to do, then they're just going to do bad shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Burning Man feels like what I saw out there is when you don't tell people what to do, what they do is they make art and they create cool experiences and they party.
So you're saying if I wanted to like mug people, Burning Man like would be the place to go.
If you
just catch everyone off guard,
you could. Yeah. 100%. Everyone would be super. Well, but then we'd also find you and we'd take care of it.
Also, I don't even know.
We might burn you.
I don't even know what you'd steal from them. It'd be like,
yeah,
you like, steal like they're like a
jar of toenails.
Yeah, paint. Then, no, yeah. No, it'd be like a painted feather, and you're like, I'm gonna sell this for a great value. Like you wouldn't even have it give anything good to steal. Like it's just all like amulets.
So do young people go to Burning Man anymore, or is it like
I
said 34, and I'm like, no, like, sounds pretty. Because growing up, I was like, Burning Man, that's like where college kids go and do psychedelics.
So when I was there, the camp that I went with is mostly people who are in their, I would say, 30s and 40s.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are definitely young people there, right? There are definitely college kids. There are definitely like 20-year-olds. But most of the people, Burning Man is different than just like a rave, right? Because you actually, the environment is incredibly harsh. You actually have to go out there and build the city. So you have to build all, there's not anything out there. So you got to go out and build the infrastructure. You have to build the city. And some young people do just kind of come in and coast. But the ethos there generally is you come out and you build it and then you play. So most of the people that I see out there and that I interacted with in my camp were older. They were more established. This is like an adult playground.
From that description, it sounds like it's like a rave for like construction workers.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like labor union.
Yeah. Rave. We're going to go out there.
If I meet like a construction worker and it's like, I want to do Molly, I'd be like, you got to build first.
I know where you should do that.
Yeah. Okay. Nothing like using a table saw on ecstasy, you know, like that's fun.
Yeah.
From what the stuff you've expressed about it, like the people and all that, it does sound like this is what your dad needs to go to find the next wife.
Oh, totally.
You know, he needs to open up.
Do you think he could convince someone at Burning Man to be his polygamous wife?
For that week at Burning Man, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't think that my dad has that much game.
Doesn't. Okay, no way.
Yeah. We got to record a documentary where we go to Burning Man.
No, we find your dad's next wife.
I love this.
We take a fundamentalist polygamist and just take my trip to Burning Man.
Oh, 100%.
Open the door.
That'll blow their mind.
And, I want to do that.
So I want to do a camp out there that's called Camp FOMO, Former Mormon, where I take former Mormons and I, because one of the things that most people take
John by the way out there.
I'll take John by the way out there, and I'll like just because a lot of people who grow up Mormon or grow up in a hyper religious society, they feel really restricted, right? They feel like there are things that I wanted that I wish I would have done as an adolescent that I can't do. You can do all of those things at Burning Man.
Oh yeah, dude! You open the door to these. I guess that's the exciting part. I could be like go there with some of these people I grew up with who were Mormon. We get off, we build, and I'm like, all right, you're free, dude.
Yeah,
take your dick out.
Take your dick out. Dance. Yeah. Like do whatever that thing is that you think that you need to do in order to be your fully expressive self. Do that. And then stop bitching about it.
Yeah.
And then go out and live your life.
Then they'll come back to society and they'll be significantly less gay because they got it out.
They got it out there. Yeah. Exactly. All the gays out.
That's how we sell it.
That's how we sell it to conservatives.
Like, do you want everything to be less gay? Well, let them go get their gay
Get their gay out at Burning Man.
To be less gay, you got to be gay.
You got
to
be gay.
To be less gay.
You got
to
get the gay out of you.
That's what the
which it is actually kind of a thing. Because sometimes when people, the more they try not to be gay, the more that's what it is.
Well, yeah.
That's what our politicians do at the Bohemian Grove.
Oh, 100%.
Get their gay out there.
That's why they're so conservative.
Then they don't have to do it in like airport bathrooms.
Yeah.
Well, dude, they're not doing that at the RNC, dude. The Grindr app crashed at the RNC. So like they need to go Burning Man.
My favorite.
Yeah. It's incredible, you know. Did you go that year when it was like that crazy muddy stormy one?
Yep. So I've gone for the last 3 years. So the first year in 22 was like, and it was rad too, because it was like that was one of the hottest years on record. Like they had tons of dust storms. It was like a bunch of people had been there a bunch of times were like, this is truly awful. Mm-hmm. And me having grown up on a compound, I was like, this is fucking, it was like home.
Yeah.
Like ball. I was like, this is the apocalypse I was promised. Mm-hmm. I'm like wandering around like full on dust storms and I'm just wrapped up. I'm like, this is nothing. Like
you built a bakery. Like you're just,
I
ready
built
to
a
go.
Bakery with my bare hands out of straw.
Yeah. It's like, easy.
This is nothing.
Okay. Yeah. So,
but then, yeah, then the next year then it rained and it was again, like a bunch of people freaked out and the rest of us were just like, cool. Now it's rained. Like that's one of the things I really like about Burning Man is that it's not just a festival. It's also nature. Yeah. Right. So it's like, if it rains, that's what we're doing now. That all that happens is the everything slows down a little bit. You can't drive, but you can walk. Mm-hmm. And so me and my friends, we just like, I brought a stick because I have a staff, so I'm prepared. And we were just like, we put like Ziploc bags over our feet and we just like trekked around to our local little area. We found like a Lithuanian camp that was like a block away. They were having a party all night long. So we just like jammed with the Lithuanians.
Hell yeah.
For like 6 hours. And then we went right next door to this place. It was called Beverly Grills and their generator died. So they had a whole bunch of meat that they had to get rid of. So they were just grilling meat. And so we just went in there and had like fucking steak, fucking like curry. It was delicious.
It was like
3 o'clock in the morning.
Misconception. Cause my dad, if he heard about Burning Man, he'd be like, oh, it's a bunch of vegan homos.
But oh, God, no.
No. It's just a bunch of straight guys choking down meat.
Yeah. You know? Just getting their gay out, you know?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah, because it's... Yeah, it just is. It's nice to hear about people, you know, having get breaking out of like all the shit that kind of was holding them back, and like being able to like express themselves and all that. And all I'm really realizing is like me and you have done these things. He hasn't.
We need to take.
He hasn't done anything.
I need to.
He just a little, yeah, dude. You get the gay out.
Don't do it. Get that gay. That gay's inside. Yeah. Well, the gay's not. It's a little bit out.
See,
look at
it's
that.
It's trying to get out.
It's trying to get out.
Trying to get out.
Pop out. My sock, dude. My sock collection is aggressively gay. No. Actually,
love that.
You know how he's also hiding it too. Can you name every basketball player on Gonzaga right now? You know all their names?
Bench as well.
Yeah,
we're just starting five.
Yeah, dude. I would love to see.
No, dude, that looks different. That's
oh, yeah, different. It's totally different. Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally different. Just me watching dudes running around in shorts.
You know when 19-year-old men can make you cry? Like,
I mean, dude, if they win the national championship, I might cry.
You will.
Like, it's probably been 14 months since I've had a good cry. So
he needs it.
I need Gonzaga to win the national championship so I can
finally cry.
And the word that you're saying is Gonzaga?
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
It's a school. It's a school in Washington State.
Okay.
It's my favorite college basketball team.
Okay. I demand that Gonzaga win so that this man can cry.
Yes.
Oh, dude.
That's like an offering you could bring at Burning Man.
Oh, 100%. You could come in your tears. You could shed your tears upon the man.
I thought about if they won that I would have to like leave the room so my wife doesn't see me cry.
Once again, because then she'll think you're gay.
Yeah.
And then it's over. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Over right there. I do like there's a Ryan Long bit where he's like, tears forms a river for a real man to sweep in and fuck your girl. And
yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I want to not happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to watch out for that. Okay. Did you ever take anything with you from like Burning Man? Anything, any like souvenirs home? Do people do that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So gifting is a real big thing at Burning Man. So you bring a gift, people are giving you gifts. I have like necklaces, like someone gave me a cool medallion that I wear a lot.
Okay. Does it feel different when you have the medallion on? Like, does it kind of like remind you of
it's
it?
It's kind of like a reminder. It's sort of like the garments, you know, the holy priesthood kind of reminds me of
like your own actual
garments. The covenants that I made. Yeah,
yeah.
At Burning Man.
So like when you get in a car crash and your body's been all scarred up, you're like,
right.
Except for
that
right
one.
There.
This little
yeah,
circle.
That
right
little
here.
Circle. Yeah.
Protected.
I know, dude. The one time I actually believed in my garments, I shit my pants, and the shit never went past the line.
Hell yeah, that is righteous. You
know? Lord,
yeah, it's the Lord's, the Lord's
that
watch,
is the
now.
Lord's protection.
And then I kept him. I was like, no, these are the military ones, they're the camo ones. So that's awesome.
I just want to get into more like fun work questions.
Yes,
so. You worked at Great Harp. Yeah, I mean, there's so much to get distracted here with.
Because I don't know you super well, so there's tons, like, this is like, there's just so much shit, like, I'm just like, I'm hearing this for the first time.
Here we are, yeah.
Yeah, you know, my eyes open now.
Have you ever stolen company property?
Have I ever, I have
stole the cookies.
Stole the cookies. For sure. Have I ever stolen company property anywhere else? I don't think so.
Okay. Have you ever hooked up with a coworker?
I guess you taught online high school classes, so it's like, could you steal?
Like, there wasn't a lot that I could steal. Like,
people's virginity.
I still have like the computers from that, but they gave them to me after I left.
It's okay. Like Stephen Hennigar's college.
So it was like, I didn't steal it.
Okay. Well, next question. You ever hook up with a coworker?
I've never hooked up with a coworker. No.
Okay.
I was married.
Honestly, thank God.
Yeah.
From your job description.
Yeah. If I would have hooked up with a coworker, that would have been. Yeah.
And you really would have been a polygamist.
I really would have been. Yeah. Then I would have never gotten out.
Yes. So you dodged a bullet there.
I would be hooked.
It's too good.
Oh, this is what they're talking about. Oh my God. Okay. So what do you do? So what do you do now? Because you still do teaching or?
No. So now I do comedy full time.
Full time?
Yep.
Full time.
Full time. Oh,
yeah. Full time rumbling.
Full time rumbling.
Okay.
What
got you to make the comedy rumble?
And so
real quick, describe it to the if people don't know.
Yeah, so if people don't know, Comedy Rumble, it's just a competition show. So I take, there's eight comics and there are four different rounds. So in round one, everyone does a brand new, you guys have both been on it. So you do a brand new minute. And so one person does a minute and then another person does a minute. And then the audience cheers for which one they want to see go through. Mm-hmm. And then they do 3 minutes and then they do 5 minutes. And then whoever wins does 10.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like the winner, it's almost a punishment.
It almost is. Yeah. In fact,
I think some of the comics who have been doing as long, they don't have, like, they'll use all their best jokes.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, now it's 10 minutes of just whatever else I got.
Right. And it's actually been kind of, that's happened a lot in Vegas. So because I'm on like our sixth show in Vegas, and the first guy that won in Vegas, like, he got 5 minutes into his 10 and he was out of material. Mm-hmm. And that happened to the third guy and the fourth guy as well, which I actually love. Cause part of the reason I made the Rumble is I wanted to create something that would help working comics progress. Right. I wanted it to be something that would allow them to, like, workshop new material, cause what we all need is stage time. Right. That's ultimately the reason I made it, is that I'm only 3 years into this. I know that I want to be excellent. I want to be excellent at this craft. The only way I'm going to do that is if I'm on stage, right? As I'm practicing, and I don't have enough pull by myself, and I don't have enough material by myself to do my own show where it's just me every week. But if I can create something that allows me to host and kind of be on stage every week, then I get that practice. Right. But it's been really fun to see comics kind of, because one of the things that happened to me, like the first or second time that I ever headlined, is I burned through my material. I was just on a roll. Like, I was just like cruising and I got through all of my stuff and I went super fast. And so I had like 20 minutes left at the end and I was just done. And all of these people had paid for an hour show and I was like 40 minutes in and I was literally had nothing else. And so I had to figure out some stuff for 20 minutes. And that was great. That I learned a lot as a comic from that. I got some new material. I just had to try shit.
I would just ask everyone in the crowd, like one by one, like, have you been to Burning Man?
Yeah.
Have you? Please, someone, you know.
Someone give me something. Yeah. And so it's been fun to see other comics get that experience, right? I think there's something really valuable as a young comic of running out of material on stage and then figuring it out.
Okay. Oh, of course. So
the show is set up for new comics to run out of material.
Yeah.
It's okay. So really it's a rumble and like, it's like, you know, when you get that like Tommy Rumble, it's like, that's kind of how it feels. And you run out of gas,
you're like, oh,
and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, what else can I say? And the only thing you can think of is the N word. Like, yeah. I can't say that.
Well, and it's
and
fun
that's
too, because
that's the artistry, is learning how to not say the N word.
Learning how to not say the N word. Yeah. That there are other options.
There are other words.
You stand up in Spokane all day.
There's places where that they're like, no, that's
they're actually that, now. Please say that.
What was I gonna say? I don't know. That's fun. It's fun. It seems like it's going well. You know.
Yeah, we're weekly now in Salt Lake. We're weekly in Vegas, which was the goal. I wanted a weekly show. And the ones in Salt Lake, it's the Rickles Room, so it's 80, 90 seats, but they sell out every time, which is great. Like, that helps it's fun to do that with the audience. It's fun to do that with the comics.
Yeah.
It's good for the brand.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to have created something that I like and is good for me and that other people like, and it's also good for them.
Okay.
No, dude, that's what it's all about. You know, we feel the same way about this show, because it's like, this has always been great for whoever comes on.
Yeah.
But we see a boost in their, you know, their Instagram numbers.
Yeah.
You know, because we got like maybe 10, 20 people listening to this.
Yeah.
So it's a similar thing.
It's kind of
some people are like afraid, like, oh, I'm worried that someone's gonna see this, like my boss. Yeah, and you're like,
had people take down episodes. They're like, hey,
that's wild.
Someone from my work found,
which is
podcast.
Actually a compliment to us, yeah, where they're like, someone's listening.
Got them fired.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is. You're like, we almost got them fired on the Let's Get Fired podcast.
Yeah, we never thought
which
it would happen.
Which is kind of our goal. We want it to happen, and then like whoever gets fired will like take their picture and put it on the wall.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
That would be
baller.
But let's get into some of those like fired questions.
We have a couple questions. And then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your favorite racial slur?
my favorite racial slur.
How about other polygamous slurs?
So we do people do call us pligs or pliggers.
Pligs.
Yeah. Pliggers? Yeah.
Yeah. Which I like to tell people, look, only I can say that.
That's true.
Are you really going to drop a hard R, hard R pligger on me?
Oh my God.
For real?
Wow. It's that pligger guy.
So God.
I think that might be my favorite racial slur.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
You know what?
That wins.
That's your culture is not our costume. That's a great one. I've never heard that. That's what I'm so happy.
The one that I probably use that I didn't realize was, and is gypped. Like, have you ever heard, I didn't know that was a slur.
And then you met them at Burning Man.
And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. I apologize. But yeah. I'm bummed because I like that word. And I want, like, if someone.
And then you're like, give me back my wallet, you.
Oh, no. Fuck.
Oh, almost.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. Oh, man.
It's too fun.
But, okay. If you could nuke any country in the world.
Question.
I mean, it can't be the U.S. It's too easy, and also it's like a cop out. It's like, yeah, right, come on. Like,
or
so,
you commit suicide.
Yeah, what would it be?
If I could nuke any country in the world, I think I would nuke. The evil part of me wants to say Japan.
There we go. Hey, hey, no. What is it? Comedy comes in threes?
Like, right. Yeah. Comedy comes in threes.
Yeah.
It's not funny until the third one.
Exactly. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, we gave him an art exhibit.
Right.
You know, because it's like they had like those like shadows that like of the people. Also, and then it's like it's like a landmark. Now.
They're doing so well. Yeah. Like, imagine how much better they'd be doing if they had a third one.
They're in a recession right now.
The two of them were great. So, like, I mean, imagine, because the two of them gave America a lot of guilt. So we invested a lot.
Yeah.
So that third one would really.
Well, because, like, you know, like it's way cheaper to fly to Tokyo right now because, like, they're kind of going into a recession in Japan. Just quick little click wheel, little nuke. Wakes everyone up.
Economy.
Fix the economy. And, you know,
it does feel like it's about time in the apocalypse it's wild to me that we haven't, that someone hasn't nuked someone.
I'm really happy it hasn't happened.
I'm glad. I am too. That's actually one of the things that I think one of the reasons I have hope for humanity is that we only used nukes twice.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we used nukes as humans two times and then we were like, whoa.
It's also fun when you like learn the history of World War II and learn that like Japan was like already brokering a peace deal with us.
100%
was over, and we're like,
let's just see what
they do.
Russia.
Well, we put too much money into this to not.
Well, so if it makes you feel any better, just read about the rape of Nanking.
Yeah, and then you're like,
and then it really paints a pretty.
I mean, that war was brutal.
I don't know if you've ever read any of the info about the rape of Nanking. It's maybe one of the most horrific things I've ever read. So shout out. Anyways, was there another question you have fired question?
Yeah. Well, I guess this is a fired one. I think it could be. What's your guilty pleasure music?
My guilty pleasure music?
Or song or whatever.
I mean, I love Justin Bieber's Baby.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think that's fair.
There we go.
Straight fire.
You ever listen to it on psychedelics?
No, but now I'm going to.
Got to.
Yeah, I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because now you're going to
realize the true artist was Ludacris the whole time.
Well, I mean, the Ludacris part is it's the combination of like the baby with Ludacris. It's just, it's a great fucking song.
It's a great anthem. And when you do psychedelics and listen to it, you'll just think how Justin Bieber's third eye got opened by P. Diddy.
Ooh, I love this for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He got
is that where the third eye is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Apparently.
It's the chocolate eye. So that's I like that though. We haven't got that answer before.
No, we haven't.
We haven't.
And that was like sitting right there for the taking.
I know.
Last movie to make you cry.
The last movie that made me cry.
Sound of Freedom.
I actually didn't watch Sound of Freedom. I fucking hate Tim Ballard, man.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's bullshit.
There are actual people there are actual children in Utah being trafficked and they're not being helped by Tim Ballard.
Well, he just assaulted the people that works for him. You know, it's it's a very like, yeah, it seems like a very look at me.
Oh, 100%.
I'm amazing.
Look at all these cool children that I've saved.
I'm incredible. How about this? Jim Caviezel played me.
Every five Colombian children he saves, he gets to sexually assault one person. That's fair.
I think think that's literally how his brain is wired.
Oh, probably. He's like, but all the fair. Work of him.
Are we going to say that's not fair? You can't
essay? Well, didn't he say that he watched child porn just because he's like, I had to know what I was like dealing with. So maybe in his eyes, he's like, this, what could be happening is so much worse. Okay? Dude, like,
Amanda made a great joke today.
Yeah.
She was like, you know how AI is like replacing jobs? She's like, mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of angry guys at the FBI when AI replaces the job of watching the child
porn. Yeah. Sort of the greatest loopholes.
I told Amanda because she's like freaking out. She's doing the Rumble this week.
Yeah,
can't come up with any new jokes. I was like,
she should fucking say that. That's a great joke.
Yeah, that's an awesome joke.
Oh my god, I would lose my shit if she used that joke.
Well, now you're ready for it.
Yeah, I'm ready. Yep. That is Amanda. Please, for the love of God, last movie that made me cry. I don't know. I didn't cry when I watched the movie Wicked, but when I saw the play Wicked, I did just sob. Mm-hmm. When Elphaba's defying gravity, I'm like, I'm Elphaba.
There you go.
I also defied gravity.
You sound like Ben Shapiro right now.
Does Ben Shapiro like Wicked?
He loves it.
Oh, he made a
review of it and he's like fully queening out.
Ben Shapiro is so gay.
So he did that video. Then he did this live Q&A, and this girl in like a MAGA hat was like, "I'm just so happy to hear that you like Wicked. What's your other favorite like musicals?" And Ben Shapiro like pauses and looks around. He's like, "Guys, I'm not gay." And then he's like, "But Sweeney Todd is the greatest musical ever made." so
funny.
Love it. All right. I think we forgot to say at the beginning that the way
that we don't say it though.
Okay, so this whole thing, what we've been doing, it's actually kind of been like an interview, with you to see if
you are going to hire me.
Yes,
love this. Great.
Yep, because you know we have a company on the rise.
I know. I'm saying yes already, and I'm saying the position. Yes.
Perfect.
Our attorney.
Oh,
banger. 100%.
We don't have an attorney.
I have an attorney yet. And we're going to need one.
And what better attorney than an attorney who doesn't have a law degree?
I'm not an attorney, but I have one. I have won every legal case that I've been involved in. I have won.
Yeah.
Undefeated.
Beat his bitch ex-wife.
In the court of law.
Not mine.
In the court of law.
His dumb whore.
In a court of law.
In a court of law.
In a court of law. And I also have another. There's another one. I had a employment case from like 4 or 5 years ago that I also won. So I'm 2-0.
So
legal. So I will 100% be your attorney.
Dude, you said you don't like sports. You're like, I'm 2-0. You're undefeated.
Okay? Yeah, I'm undefeated. Come on. Yeah, I'm undefeated.
I'm so excited. In the legal system. That's been a big
for the Lions.
It's been a big gap in our roster.
It does feel like I'm going to be a very important addition to protecting you guys.
Very important.
Yeah, I'll advocate for you very well.
Because like there's some people on our staff we don't know if we were comfortable
this
with.
This episode's been pretty mild, but we've hired some questionable people, like he was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've said some crazy things.
I'm a free speech advocate attorney. I will 100%. Yeah, whatever you need to say.
See, I was going to hire Ben Shapiro, but now
we got
Ben Brown.
No, the only other option we had was Willy Wonka.
Did you know Willy Wonka? He told me that he's actually the attorney for the Kingstons. The Kingstons are gangster polygamous. So they're like, they've got a big old compound. They've got tons of money, like straight up. Like they cast people out. There are allegations of like serious abuse and or murder. And he came when he saw me do like a set and he was like, came up to me and he was like, yeah, just like polygamists are great. Like I'm the attorney for the Kingstons or whatever. And I was like, I don't know that you're, I don't know what I don't know what your goal was in telling me that.
He's like, come on, man.
I'm your buddy.
Yeah. You should talk to Willy One about the Israelis, and it's a fun time.
We can't go into the details here because that's a whole nother podcast. Yeah. But just ask him about it.
Okay. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So let's wrap it up right there. We got a new attorney, Fresh King Benjamin.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You want to plug?
I just want to plug Comedy Rumble every weekend at Wise Guys in the Rickles Room in Salt Lake, and also the Riot Wise Guys in Las Vegas. If you have any Vegas listeners, so
we got
check
so
those
many.
Out.
Yeah. Drew's brother,
I don't even think he listens. But I don't think any of my family listens.
Thank God.
The only listeners we have are like random people who found clips on Instagram. Okay. So
if you're a random person in Las Vegas, come out to a Rumble. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'll also be headlining the Vegas showroom on February 8th. So
Awesome.
Come check me out for that.
Well, thanks for being on, and thanks for listening, fellas. Goodbye. You.